You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across the state of Wisconsin, Daybreak with Brian and Jamie is back.
It's 8:06. Good morning. Thank you so much for having us on today. You are listening to the Civic Media Network. Some sunshine in Madison. Hopefully that means that there is some sunshine where you're at today, because we need to dry some stuff out because it's a little soggy. It's a little damp. And there's a whole lot of flooding across portions of Wisconsin. We're actually going to talk a little bit more this morning with Stu Waddles, our WAUK reporter. He's going to join us at 8:30, Brian, because we're going to talk about the situation that unfolded in Milwaukee last night. Obviously, when the Brewers game ended, there was a lot of flooding. There were people who were stranded. There were rescues that had to happen. So we're going to get the latest from Stu later this morning. But first, we've got a whole lot of news, though, we have to get to this morning.
We do. And let's look at the war. We're entering the seventh week of the war. That'll be exciting. Happy anniversary to the war. Iranian officials and Pakistan's military chief will meet in Tehran today to discuss messages exchanged between Iran and the U.S. Yesterday, the White House expressed optimism about reaching a deal, noting that a potential second round of talks would likely be held in Pakistan.
In other headlines, the leaders of Israel and Lebanon will also speak today for the first time in decades, according to an Israeli official and President Donald Trump. Yesterday, Israel's security cabinet met to discuss a possible ceasefire, according to a source, as its military continued its bombardment targeting Iran-backed Hezbollah.
And Iran's military has threatened shipping in the Red Sea if the U.S. continues its blockade of Iranian ports. Reports on traffic through the Strait of Hormuz differ, though the trade choke point remains effectively shut down.
And finally, we get to talk about Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. We don't get to do that very often. He said the U.S. is now willing to apply secondary sanctions on countries that buy Iranian oil to take Tehran's money, or take Tehran's money, I should say. The department also announced sanctions on more than two dozen individuals, companies, and vessels it says are involved in exporting Iranian oil and natural gas. This doesn't feel like things are getting better.
Well, it depends who you talk to, Jamie.
This is true.
You know, the man at the top says it's almost done.
Depends now, on whose social media feed you follow.
Right. And I'm trying to follow the timeline. This should be 2 weeks. We should be at 2 weeks. But, you know,
yeah,
whatever. You just listen, you shrug, and you not much we can do. Except we can share more stuff we need to know.
Yeah.
We could do that.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
This I found very interesting up in Door County because a number of boards had elections last week. You know,
sure.
On April 7th, there were big elections. Well, they didn't have candidates running, so they had to count on write-in votes. The Southern Door County School District has two new board members, and the Door County Board has a new supervisor for the District 19 seat. That's been vacant for 9 months. Following the counting of write-in votes and the certification of vote totals from the April 7th election, the district did not have a candidate who filed nomination papers by the January 6th deadline for the April 7th election. This is the second straight county board election where no one signed up to run for the seat. Wow.
That's
Come
insane.
On, Door County. You got to get on the ball. Somebody up there has got to be involved. Patrick Voigt won the most write-in votes in the April 2024 election, but he resigned in June, and the seat has been vacant ever since.
Wow.
So Preston Plouffe received 23 of the 64 write-in votes cast in the district. This is Mayberry kind of stuff.
Wow.
I can't believe Door County, nobody wanted to run. Listen, we're good with the way things are going up here. We have pie and beauty. We don't really need to get involved in the nitpicky politics stuff. But Preston Plouffe got 23 of the 64 votes. That district covers parts of the towns of Liberty Grove and Bailey's Harbor and the villages of Ephraim and Sister Bay. County Clerk Jill Lau said Plouffe accepted the seat.
Wow.
I have been written in, but I will not accept. But Preston Plouffe is there. When no candidates file nomination papers for a county board seat, it is offered to the person who wins the highest number of write-in votes in the election. If that person doesn't accept the seat, the board will ask people to submit letters of interest for the position and appoint someone to fill it. That was the same for the District 19 or District 19.
That's insanity. Like, why doesn't anyone want this job?
It's apathy, Jamie. Citizen apathy.
Here's the thing, though. I get that these aren't full-time and they're not high-paying jobs, right? They take hours. There's meetings. You have to listen to a lot of complaints. It's pretty thankless for a lot of people.
Yeah, but you get to be the boss of the county and tell people what to do.
But don't you think that it's part of this is because local politics is not what it used to be, especially on the local level, because it's become a lot more intense, just like everything else.
Yes.
But it's become so much more polarized. And you're not just serving your community. You are opening yourself up at these positions to criticism. You are opening yourself up to social media. You are opening yourself up to all of these people who are going to second guess everything that you do and become an armchair, basically a committee member, council member, whatever the position might be. And for a lot of people, I think it's just not worth it anymore, right? And Door County, let's be clear, is a very purple county if you're looking at how they vote. It's very much a swing county. So you're going to get opinions from people on both sides of the aisle all the time because nobody understands the art of compromise anymore. Everybody wants it their way all the time. So I think that there's probably people who are just like, no, I'm just not going to be part of this anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put myself, because here's the thing. If you're just there trying to help your community and some group comes in and they're yelling at you about, we don't like the curriculum in the school district. We want this book banned, blah, blah, blah. And they start hurling insults and stuff. I'm not going to sit there and take that.
No.
I don't need this.
Nobody needs
to. I got a life. I'm trying to help things and you're being a jerk and I got to go. So,
yeah. I think the thing that we all need to remember, though, is when this type of stuff happens, you get these empty seats and then you get decisions that are being made by fewer voices, because when people are afraid to step up or don't want the headaches potentially of stepping up, that doesn't mean that decisions just stop getting made. It just means
the loudest people and the people that you don't want making the decisions, the ones who cause all the issues, they're the ones who are going, well, fine, I'll do it. Because I know the best way for everybody, so I'm going to take over, and that's that. So it's not just Door County, but we're using Door County as the example because that's part of what we need to know today. So come on, a little social engagement or civic engagement.
Civic engagement would be great. In other headlines from stuff you need to know today, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced a new bill. She did this earlier this week on Tuesday. The bill is aimed at making it simpler and cheaper for people to watch professional sports. Now, currently, if you're a fan of Wisconsin, if you want to watch every Packers, Brewers, and Bucks game in a year, it's going to cost more than $1,500 annually to purchase the necessary streaming services and subscriptions, a cost that Baldwin says benefits the league and streaming service executives, as well as the billionaire owners of the sports teams, at the expense of the fans. She says this isn't just a Packers or a Wisconsin issue. This has become an American issue. She also goes on to say, and this was at a press conference she held yesterday, what used to be grabbing the remote and hitting a button or two has literally turned into a maze, and she's not wrong, of streaming subscriptions, unexpected blackouts, or really high payments. To top all of that off, she says there's no consistency, and it's all flat out confusing for fans. Now, this is called the For the Fans Act, and it includes two major provisions that are meant to make it cheaper for all of us to watch our favorite teams. The first would prohibit league-owned streaming services such as MLB TV or NBA League Pass from blacking out games that are played locally or in third party or on a third-party streamer. The second would require the league to provide a way for local fans to watch all games for teams based in the state in which they live. The proposal comes after the Green Bay Packers versus Chicago Bears playoff game that was held in January. It was only available on local TV in Wisconsin in the Milwaukee and Green Bay markets, meaning that in five of the state's TV markets, you had to subscribe to Amazon to actually watch that game.
Let me made people angry.
It did. Apparently, Senator Baldwin, to the point where she came up with this act.
Yeah, she's sitting at home. Where's the game? Where is the... I'm going to do something about this. And when you're in that position,
you can
try to do something about it.
Yeah.
We're going to fix that right now. And one more thing. I thought we would make it through stuff you need to know without mentioning a certain someone. But alas, he's omnipresent. Republican leaders, I'm looking at the wrong story. That's the next story is crazy, but this does have something to do with the president because he once again yesterday threatened to fire Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell if he does not step down from the central bank. He is renewing his attacks on a Fed chief he has long accused of keeping interest rates too high. Yeah, that reflects badly on the president, so he wants him gone. Trump said, well, then I'll have to fire him, okay? That was while he was on Fox News talking about Powell's tenure as chairman, which ends May 15th, if he's not leaving on time. He also refused to distance himself from the Justice Department's criminal probe into the Fed's $2.5 billion office renovation, which prosecutors have used to ratchet up pressure on the Fed, even as the department's legal case has faced legal and political headwinds. Trump declined to direct the Justice Department to stand down from the investigation, which a federal judge last month found to be part of a broader White House pressure campaign against the Fed. The central bank has denied any wrongdoing in the renovation, and a federal judge last month quashed a pair of grand jury subpoenas, finding that prosecutors had no evidence of a crime. Well, why would that stop the Justice Department then from issuing subpoenas? Evidence, schmevidence, they said. That's not part of the story. That's just me. Trump's threat to fire Powell, it'd be funny, though, because basically that's what they're doing. Evidence,
schmevidence, we don't need it. I feel like that should be the quote. They should just wear the T-shirts around all the time now.
Evidence, schmevidence. Trump's threat to fire Powell also raised immediate legal questions. Duh. Fed governors generally can't be removed except for cause. And Powell has said he has no plans to leave the agency until the probe is finished.
Oh, my gosh.
And this all goes back to when Jerome Powell publicly corrected the president during a walkthrough of the construction site. And, oh, man, he made Donald Trump look less than informed. Is that a nice political way to say
that
stupid?
That is a very good way to say it, yes.
Well, then that's what I'll say. And that he doesn't sit well with that. He doesn't like to be corrected. And so now he's been after Jerome Powell. And also because high interest rates means the economy is rougher and people complain and then they don't think he is the, Jesus, which he likes to portray. Well, he's a doctor, not Jesus. Who am I kidding? I'm sorry for mislabeling that.
And when you look at polling, we do all agree that the economy is bad under this president.
Not Caroline Leavitt yesterday, Jamie.
No, she believed.
She said, haven't you seen how gas prices have dropped in the last year under President Trump?
No, actually,
and
I have
everybody
not.
In the country went, no.
In fact,
in the last month, it's gone up a buck and a half.
Weird. Weird how facts are actually part of the conversation and people notice these things.
How does she say that and not just get struck by lightning? They're all about God and you'd think there'd be a wrath. The wrath has to come when she just blatantly lies.
It is. Maybe
she doesn't drive.
This could be. So, she would have no idea what real people are actually paying.
But
at
everybody
the
who
pump.
Drove there, even the right wing press, had to be thinking.
No.
She's a liar.
I think I just paid like $4 a gallon. But okay.
Four? Where are you shopping? That's cheap. Good for you.
Still
getting
a
bargain.
Still under $4 here in Madison. So hopefully it's that low. Question mark everywhere else? I don't know. 8:19 right now. We live in crazy times.
You are listening
to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. Speaking of crazy, the irony is thick with this one. We'll talk about it after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. We hope that you are having a great start to your Thursday. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. You are listening to Daybreak. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you'd like to weigh in, get involved, just shoot us a compliment, a criticism, whatever you want to do. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And if you call in, remember, be nice to Parker, because to get to us, you got to get through him. And he's a tough, tough critic.
He likes chocolate. He likes chocolate, and he's not above bribery, folks.
Wow. Yeah. if your call is that important, send him a little something in advance and say, I'm calling Friday at 8:30, and I want to talk to Brian and Jamie about this. Say it with sweets. All right, Jamie, there's a lot of times that the news is convoluted, and stories get like this, and I think this fits Alanis Morissette's irony, because I've read this story about five times.
She didn't know what fit
still...
irony in her song,
no, she
but
didn't
I digress.
Know, but
anyway, go ahead.
That's all right. So GOP leaders in the state are paying up to $550 an hour to lawyers to defend themselves against hiring private lawyers.
This is taxpayer money, by the way.
Right. So they're using taxpayer money to fund private lawyers to fight a lawsuit saying that they used public money to hire private lawyers.
Yeah.
It's my head is spinning.
Like,
so
yeah, it's literally like playing. We joke about the term mental gymnastics all the time.
This
you literally
one,
have to play mental gymnastics with this particular story.
This
crazy.
One is crazy. So here's a little background. Republican leaders, like I said, they're going to be paying private lawyers up to $550 an hour in taxpayer money to represent the legislature in a lawsuit that challenges them over that very practice using taxpayer money to hire private attorneys. Now, the lawsuit was filed by liberal law firm Law Forward in February. It followed a 2025 Milwaukee Journal Sentinel investigation that found the state legislature had spent about $26 million in taxpayer money on legal fees to private law firms since 2017. The investigation found most of the spending came after Governor Evers and Attorney General Josh Call won the November 2018 election, defeating Republican former Governor Scott Walker and Attorney General Brad Schimmel. So the increase in spending also followed a law passed by Republican legislatures in a December 2018 lame duck session that authorized the Assembly Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader to hire private lawyers with taxpayer money. So this all started in 2018.
Yes. All right. What I love about this in this entire story, as crazy and weird and twisted as it is, I just love that a majority of that spending traces back to the decision that the Republicans made on their own about the lame duck session, because they had lost the governorship and the attorney general race, and they were passing laws so that legislative leaders had the power to hire their own private attorneys, all because they wanted to take the power out of the Democratic governor and attorney general's hands.
Man,
I mean,
$26 million of your money, your money going to fund private lawyers.
This is the epitome of Wisconsin politics, though, right? I mean, when I read this story, I don't really know the angle of this. I see the Republicans making bad decisions that they then have to defend themselves against using taxpayer money because the decisions didn't make sense at the time and it's been tied up in courts. And this just feels like the epitome of everything voters who have been paying attention have been screaming about with the particular leadership at the Capitol in Wisconsin. This is bonkers. And you should be.
That's the basis of this lawsuit.
Yes.
And Jeff Mandel is the president and general counsel of Law Forward. So he had an email statement to the Journal Sentinel, and he said, quote, "It's pretty ironic that the taxpayer will once again be on the hook for the legislature's inclination to spend, spend, spend on outside lawyers. Wisconsin taxpayers are on the hook for a pretty hefty bill, not just from the Assembly, but from the Senate as well." End of that quote. Yeah. So just have fun with this today as you're driving, as you're sitting at work going, we're being sued for hiring private lawyers with taxpayer money. So in order to fight that lawsuit, we're going to hire private lawyers with taxpayer money to...
But I
to
think
fight the laws.
But that's what we saw under Robin Voss, and especially during Scott Walker before he left office in 2018, right? Under Robin Voss, this Republican Party has essentially, it's a cycle. They've created authority. They've used that authority. That authority's gotten challenged. And then they've continued to spend our money to fight those challenges, which if you're a voter, you should be asking real questions of your Republican leadership based on what they have done in the years past. And let me be clear, a lot of that leadership is now stepping down. We have seen people on the Republican side say that they are not going to seek re-election. Thank you. They're not going to seek re-election. They are retiring to be with family, whatever it may be. But they've been part of the problem of what we're just talking about.
Yeah, well, that why stay and try to fix it, or why be held accountable? We're
right.
going to, you know what? I don't need this anymore. It's a higher level of what we were talking about at Door County, but this
yes.
time it's, oh, I don't need this anymore because I might be busted for, and busted just being exposed for
yeah.
something that I did that is not, you know,
and
people
I mean,
don't like.
Essentially, aren't they paying for lawyers twice? Would
yes.
you I mean, because the state already has lawyers, the attorney general's office. So there's that.
But those are not going to work necessarily in their favor, in their mind.
But then they're going out and they're hiring private lawyers. So essentially
right.
they have doubled the lawyers.
You can never have too many lawyers, Jamie. That's what I've found. I like a phalanx of lawyers to accompany me into a courtroom. I want to look like I'm the tobacco industry. I want so many lawyers that you can't tell
yeah.
one black and navy suit from the other. That's what I'm looking for.
I mean, if you're on your way to work this morning and you're listening to us, if you figure out what we just said, please let us know.
Yeah, if you can figure this out. Plus, no kudos for using phalanx. All right, fine. I'll
right.
just keep using my vocabulary to the best of my abilities. When we come back, we're going to talk about the weather here in Wisconsin with some of our reporters. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Civic Media Network. It is 8:35 right now. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. In the wake of a week of severe storms rolling through the area, major flooding is expected across several Wisconsin counties today. Storms are going to continue to roll through. More storms expected for tomorrow night. Milwaukee County, Racine, Kenosha, Ozaukee, Sheboygan, Juneau, Columbia, Greene, Roxhawk, all under flood warnings. And to find out what's going on in the Milwaukee area, the Racine area, Kenosha, Stuart Waddles joins us. He is Civic Media reporter at WAUK. And Stuart, thanks for being here. It's, you know, just from watching the coverage and seeing footage coming out of that area, it's been a rough couple days for you guys. How are things sitting right now?
Still some standing water in some areas, but a lot of it has receded. You might have seen those images last night coming out of the ballpark. I
yes.
mean, those images are kind of all over, but the striking ones were Miller Parkway. If you guys have been to the stadium,
mm-hmm.
all roads around there, parking lots full of water, people leaving the game, just pulling their pants up like up to their knees and kind of wade through this water. So that was the striking part, but it kind of went on from there again across the city, the Marquette campus, Brady Street, Water Street, funnily enough. But yeah, a lot of water, but good for now, but we're not out of the woods yet. You
yes.
guys seen a forecast yet?
Yeah, we're supposed to.
Yeah, I'm looking
to,
at the radar now.
Yeah, you guys are still getting more rain this morning in Milwaukee. Before we went on the air, I said hopefully the sunshine that we have in Madison filters your way pretty soon because the clouds are finally separating and breaking up here in Madison. But there, you know, you mentioned the drama that took place after the game last night. There were water rescues that were taking place on the interstates. What was actually happening in some of those instances?
This was the second night of water rescues. The
oh,
night
wow.
before, there was over 50. So last night, I'd imagine, I don't think they put out a number yet, but probably even more. And I'm kind of torn on this one because they send these TV cameras out to where they know it's going to flood and people are driving through. So that
yeah.
becomes the image on TV. And I'm like, turn around, don't drown. And I end up laughing, and I know I shouldn't, and I know they're safe. I can see them in there. But where do you guys stand on that?
I'm with you, Stuart. I mentioned this before. I'll give a break to the first person because they might not know how deep the water is. But once that first person gets stuck, if you go in there, oh, well, you're on your own. Sit on the top of the car till help comes or till it dries out.
And somebody's stuck and a truck comes through and creates a big wave. And it's just a big mess. And I try and understand that it's a very serious situation, but it's crazy that people think that they can drive through this stuff.
Sometimes common sense is our best friend. I know there was a huge round of storms last night that also affected Racine, Kenosha. What are you hearing from those communities? I'm going to assume that there's also a lot of residents just dealing with flooding in homes in your area.
Yeah, flooding's a big deal, and there are people in parts of Racine County and parts of Waukesha County that for the past three nights, tornado warnings.
Wow.
So sirens going off, cell phones going off. First night was overnight, like in the middle of the night. Past two nights were right at the kids' bedtime. So at my house, it got a little tricky trying to, we just put you to bed now. Get up and come on down.
Yeah. So how do you explain to little kids why there's sirens? And don't worry, it's all going to be safe when you're waking them up and hustling them to the basement.
Yeah, the 9 and 10-year-old are all right. The 4-year-old kind of slept through it all.
Oh, that's nice.
That was beneficial. But yeah, a lot of tornado warnings. I think we've had 4 confirmed touchdowns so far. And I think there was another initial report of a twister in Elkhorn last night. And I'm sure the National Weather Service folks are out there investigating that.
As far as now we talked about, you mentioned the flooding near the park last night and there's flooding all over. How are the roads today? Has the flooding receded or are we still looking at closures throughout the area?
I'm glad you asked. The Brewers just put out a statement recently about all roads to the ballpark are open. They've got a 12:40 start today. It's a rubber match or a rubber ducky match, if you will. they're playing Toronto. But again, you can get in. I'm sure the people who are more seasoned around the stadium that know that parking lot know where to not park.
Sure.
I'm sure they've walked by before and said, I'm not parking over there ever again. It's a little
low. Bring a raft.
Are you hearing anything from the county right now? I mean, I know Governor Evers declared that state of emergency in response to flooding around the state, but are you hearing anything from county executives right now about anything that they're able to offer, whether it's the sandbagging, whether it's just aid for people right now? Any communication from them?
Yeah, there's a lot of that, I think, expected to come today.
Okay.
Last night, I think it was a more of an immediate message that they were putting out. County Executive Crawley, Mayor Johnson, both putting out statements about if you see some standing water someplace, let us know about it. And they were kind of sharing that information about this immediate problem. And today, I'm sure they're going to be out there surveying damage and putting it out. Both communities, both the municipalities, the county and city of Milwaukee, really good with their websites and keeping them updated and keeping them brief. I think that's important for these government websites to keep things brief and like targeted. So if you have a certain problem, you're not going to this government website and trying to find out what's going on. Like they have a specific meaning for this website. So they've been really good at sharing that information.
We're talking to Stuart Waddles. He's civic media reporter on WAUK Radio. Stuart, you mentioned the tornadoes that touched down near Kenosha. Is there any estimate on damage yet?
No damage estimates. The Kenosha one, I think they're going to reevaluate today. I'm not sure if they got to Kenosha. I know last night they confirmed the Beaver Dam and Waterford. Earlier in the day yesterday, they confirmed the one near Sussex. And again, last night, something near Elkhorn. Nothing confirmed, though, as far as those totals are coming out. And I'm sure we're going to find out about those. And then I'm sure in a few months we'll find out that FEMA sent some money or didn't send some money. And that's a whole other thing that people are fresh in their mind with last August. It's going to be interesting.
Well, Stuart, hopefully things quiet down, at least for today, because we do have another round of storms coming through tomorrow before we get some cooler temperatures. But we appreciate you joining us, keeping us updated on what's happening in the Milwaukee area or Racine, Kenosha, because I know you cover a big area. But, Brian, we have to bring in Connie Fellman as well.
Yes.
She is our civic media reporter for WGBW in the Green Bay area, and she was going to give us a few updates as soon as we get her into into the conversation. There's Connie. I see her. Good morning.
Good morning, Connie.
How are you?
Good morning, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. You're drowning? Yeah. So, I mean, let's just start there. Obviously, Green Bay, a lot like other portions of the state, you guys have seen your fair share of rain. And I know there's been a lot of flooding in that area. So, give us kind of the layout of the land right now.
Yeah, guys, this is really unprecedented here in Green Bay. It's currently raining. Again, I grew up on the Wolf River in Shawano, and I've never seen anything like this. There are some areas that typically flood this time of year around the area that we all know about, but there's never been anything like this. We still have evacuations in place. Suamico is still evacuated today. Parts of New London are still evacuated today. Schools are closed. A lot of community services have canceled. Just a lot of upheaval, trying to keep up with it all yesterday, trying to get out newscasts, let people know the latest evacuation notice, just trying to keep people in the loop about where to go to find a safe space.
And Connie, are there estimates on when the rivers are going to crest? Are we past the point? Because now there's supposed to be more rain later this week.
It depends on the river. But yeah, some have crested or are reaching crest stage right now. I think the Wolf River in some areas is beyond crest. This is more rain than we've had in April in a century.
Wow.
So yeah. The neat thing to see, though, guys, is I'm sure you've heard, is the neighbors helping neighbors around here. Mm-hmm. We've had a lot of calls out for people to come help fill sandbags and put them in place. And people are just really coming together to try and help out while they get their own basement dried out.
That's kind of where I wanted to go. What is the county's reaction to this or the city's reaction to this? What sort of resources do people have in the area right now, Connie?
There's a lot of information going out from the county about who to call, where to go if you need some help. Always 511 as far as road closures, but 211 in Brown County. Call, let them know what you need. We have several areas where they're putting together sandbags. They're publishing road closures. Encouraging people, it's great that you want to come out and help. Make sure you have a safe route to do that. They don't want people trying to drive through floodwaters to try and help somebody else out. But yeah, they're just on social media is a good place to go with Brown County. The city government website has a lot of information and resources available. If you need some help or you need a safe place to go, you can go to those spots.
Connie Fellman's our guest. She's a reporter for WGBW in Green Bay. You talked about driving through water, Connie. I know some of the roads were closed yesterday. What's the status on some of those roads today?
Well, rather than reopening, Brian, what I'm seeing is additional road closures.
Okay.
Like I said, it's currently raining now. So those rivers and waterways that have crested have not receded yet. We also have a lot of agriculture here in the Green Bay area. Farmers have fields that are underwater right now, and that doesn't bode well for things to come. So we're kind of stuck in a holding pattern right now. I heard Stuart talking about the Brewers. We have a local Clintonville high school baseball team whose field is currently underwater. So they've rescheduled their game to the Timber Rattler Stadium on Saturday. So we're coping as best we can, but we're in the middle of it. And as you said, there's more severe weather scheduled to come in Friday night. So things are expected to get worse before they get better.
Are there, I'm sorry, go ahead,
Brian. Oh, no, go ahead, Jamie.
I was just going to ask, we've talked a little bit about the county's response. You mentioned that this is a lot of community helping community. Are there any particular resources right now from specific organizations that you know of where people can go get immediate help if they need a place to stay, anything like that?
Well, the Red Cross has been very helpful in sending out updates. I'm trying to look at specific. And I'm sorry, I don't have that
top
of my head,
but that's
as
okay.
far as specific shelter areas, we already had three rescued from a flooded house in Suamico. That was 2 days ago.
Wow.
So, and I'm sorry, I don't have those details
at
the top of my head, but
that's okay.
Yeah.
How is the drainage system, the sewers, how are they holding up to this kind of excessive rain?
So far, so good. They have put out a warning here that if you see any drain or sewers that have blockage, anything like that, you're asked to try and help clean those out. We have a local peaceful hiking area called Beards Creek in this area. Beards Creek is overflowing. It looks like a rushing waterfall. But yeah, I mean, unprecedented. I've never seen anything like this, and it's still raining and there's more to come.
Well, Connie, good luck. Good luck
to
everybody in Brown County, the Green Bay area. We're thinking of you. It's got to be rough because water's worse than snow.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, that's the thing. We got so much snow recently, and it's the combination of that melting and already saturating the ground, then getting this water.
Yeah.
So thanks for checking in with us, guys. I appreciate
well,
that.
Well, we appreciate your time. It. Thank you. Stay
Connie
safe, Connie.
Connie Feldman, reporter at WGBW in Green Bay. Man, oh man,
wow.
It is, it's rough going in parts of the state, and it's not going to get any better this weekend. Hopefully by next week when things dry out a little, we'll go.
Yeah.
But it's almost time for us to say goodbye. But before we do, I must ask you, what is something that has made you feel out of touch?
Oh.
Yes. We'll
there might
talk
be
about
too
that.
Many things for me to get into on that.
Well, pick your top few and then let us know at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Lake Superior to Lake Michigan. This is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm just sitting here contemplating my life right now.
I'm contemplating other people's lives, and they are not measuring up. They have been weighed and measured and come up wanting.
This is why you have to watch the stream and the show within the show, folks, because sometimes there is information that we talk about in those breaks that you can only get on the show within the show on the live stream.
I'll
so
be honest,
please join
I missed
us
the
sometime.
Days when that what we talked about on the show within a show would have been an hour in the overnight.
That's right.
That would have garnered
those
unbelievable
those
things.
Those damn commercial breaks just cut us off way too soon because we could still be going.
Oh, and community standards and blah. But I don't think that would have violated community standards because it was published in a public figure's book.
Yes.
So you're reporting on actual news. And man, we would have made it hilarious. But anyway, that's neither here nor there because... What is something that has made you feel out of touch? I know now you're fearing FOMO because you didn't listen on the stream, and I don't blame you. You did miss out on something. But what has made you feel out of touch? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Today, I am feeling my age during this show because first, I did not grasp or comprehend the importance of giving infants email addresses, which Jamie brought up last hour. I didn't understand why that was so important. And now I am completely flummoxed by the fact that people are sheep and given to trends so greatly. Are you, Parker and Jamie, are you familiar with a bento box?
I am familiar with the bento box.
Okay.
I love myself a good bento box periodically.
I don't believe I am, Brian.
Well, a bento box, Jamie, why don't you explain to Parker what a bento
usually
box is?
Usually like a bento box, the ones that I particularly enjoy, I get this box and it's some meal. But in my little bento box, I have like a little pocket of, you know, say noodles or rice. And then
okay.
I get a little pocket.
They're kind of divided like the old school TV dinner.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's a couple levels on
then
it.
There's, I see. There's, okay.
Like
I've
I get
got
a little
it.
Pocket of meat and then I have the veggies that go in it. And then I, you know, have the
put
accoutrements
my
the for
the
top.
The cookie in there.
Like
a Lunchable, Parker.
Yes.
It's like a fancy Lunchable.
A Lunchable
excellent.
For adults is
all
what
right.
it should be considered.
Right. And that's fine. And I knew what a bento box is.
Yeah.
I did not know that Popeyes was selling a one-piece bento box, and people were waiting in line for hours and hours to get this one-piece bento box. And some people even were able to get... some trinkets, some swag, some merch online, but that sold out immediately yesterday.
Wow.
One of these collectible bento boxes was on eBay, sold for $350. Or sure. That's the opening bid.
Sure.
Another was sold for $200. And one bento box sold for $1,000, according to the eBay listing.
I need this disposable income.
Is one piece is I think a game because it comes with more than one piece of chicken. That's
hopefully.
Do you know Luffy? Is Luffy a thing? Parker, is that a gamer thing?
I am aware of Luffy. I will be honest with you. I am pretty sure One Piece is a TV show.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And is Luffy a character in One Piece?
That is what I recall.
Captain
yes.
Monkey D. Luffy.
Ooh.
There you go. It
Monkey
is a
Monkey D. Luffy.
One Piece is a manga series.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so
all
that's
right.
That Japanese anime.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Japanimation.
I have a kid who's very much into to anime. Yes.
See, and I've been into anime since I was a young boy with Speed Racer. People don't remember
Speed Racer
was anime.
There's like
Speed
a new
Racer
version
was
of it.
100% anime.
Yeah.
But this bento box has a beige lid, which looks like wood. And on it, there's a graphic of the show's main character, which Jamie correctly identified as Monkey D. Luffy. Now, that's in orange and white. And to the left of Luffy, it says Popeye's Luffy Bento Box. That's in orange.
Fancy.
Then there are two orange plastic compartments that you can put your food in. And it says One Piece and Popeye's on the side. And then it's held together with a stretchy band.
Fancy with my stretchy band.
People waited for hours. Now, I think to myself, I enjoy a nice Popeye's piece of chicken.
Sure.
I like their spicy chicken is great. I like their dirty rice. I'm all about Popeye's. I have no idea what this box is. And I would have, say I pulled up to Popeye's to get a spicy chicken sandwich yesterday, as is my want. And I see all these people standing in line. I'm thinking, man, the chicken sandwiches are good, but they've been out for a while. We don't need to see these lines again. And then somebody comes running out with their Luffy bento box, and I'm like, do I even live in this country anymore? Who am I?
So if you're wondering what's in these bento boxes, by the way, the Luffy box is actually only $8. It includes two pieces of Popeye signature chicken and a little mac and cheese. You get some gum fruit lemonade for about $3.50. That's a lemonade inspired by the gum fruit, the devil fruit that gave Captain Monkey D. Luffy his powers, by the way, just in case you want to know all the
backstory. But that's extra. The box just gets you the mac and cheese and the chicken.
Yes, you have to pay $8 for that and then another about $3.50 for the drink. Then you can also get a Chopper's cupcake for about $4, which is a pink cupcake with pink frosting, also named after one of the characters. And then if you want to get the entire bundle, Brian, where you get it all, you're going to pay
$14. I want it all, Jamie. Well, I need it all because you left out the name of the Straw Hats Crew's doctor, Tony Chopper, which is a huge glaring omission in reporting of this story.
So please, it is a good one.
Please, we must. Monkey T. Luffy, Tony Chopper, Parker the Amish. He's on the show. I don't know.
I didn't pose for that picture.
I felt very old and out of touch when I read this story. I was like, I just want chicken. I don't know who these people are.
Tell me I can get a spicy chicken and some mac and cheese. That's all I want today.
At least at other fast foods, I get the tie-ins. They're usually tied into a movie or something. This one, I'm like, wow.
This stuff
I'm
is go really
sit down
big,
and
though.
Have a cup
it
of tea.
It is really
and put
big.
Some,
if you are an,
is it really big?
If you're into anime, One Piece is it is a big deal right now. My kid won't dive into One Piece because it is too big. Too many people like it. He's got to stay obscure.
I don't blame him. And now he can't get the stuff anyway. So good for you. If you could sell a plastic box for $1,000, good on you. I'm happy.
That's some
for
good
you.
Entrepreneurship.
It is. But on that, I am done.
We are out of here. It is 8:59 right now. Thank you for listening to another edition of Daybreak. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.